It is time for all kinds of arts. That's what it is. St. Margaret's Bay? Ha, fooled you, didn't I? That'd be Nova Scotia, of course. And who knows? Going to bring you some music from the North Coast Symphonic Band and then introduce my first guests. I also have the Little Necks coming and Matt Love. So stay tuned right here to your one and only community radio station. Thanks for being here, folks. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it, folks? We're all sitting here felling, if you know what that means. We're very proud of it. The director and conductor of the North Coast Symphonic Band is here with me. Hi, Dave Becker.
Hi, good afternoon, Carol.
Good. Dave is a regular here on Coast Community Radio because they do a lot of performances, and he does a great job on the radio as well. So I also have in the studio the soloists who will be performing. This is for tomorrow evening. That's the 19th at the Liberty. Sorry, at 4 o'clock. It's almost evening around here by then. 4 p.m. at the Liberty. And that's right, because that allows you to catch yet another event in the evening if you're not too exhausted. But this should be great. The soloists who are with me are one familiar name, although it's a different one. Mark Goodenberger. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Carol.
Part of the clan, part of the local group of wonderful artists. And Denise Dillenbeck. Hi, Denise.
Hi.
Nice to have you here with
us.
Nice
to be here.
So you folks came in today from Ellensburg.
Ellensburg, Washington.
Ellensburg, Washington. Tell folks how far away that is.
Should be about 4.5 hours away, but it was, I think it was 7 hours today. We have lots of snow and
So this is eastern
passes.
Washington.
It's dead central, right in the middle of the
state. Oh, dead central. Mm-hmm. And there's snow.
Lots of snow.
Okay, so if you're a skier, you might like it. Otherwise, stay on the West Coast and you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Well, we much appreciate your making it, don't we, Dave?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. They're both professors at Central Washington University, which is kind of the premier music school in the Northwest in many, many ways.
Okay, well, and I knew that you were the director of percussion studies, Mark. And Denise, you're a violinist. So.
Right, and I play in the resident string quartet at Central Washington, the Kairos Quartet.
What's it called?
The Kairos String Quartet.
Spelled?
K-A-I-R-O-S.
I thought it was different. Yeah, Kairos. Okay. What we heard just now was from Was that last year's?
That was last year's concert, yes. And we're trying to make traditions out of a couple of the things that we're doing, and that's one of them. It's a wonderful arrangement of the old Fred Waring version of The Night Before Christmas that a lot of us of a certain age remember from TV and recordings and all sorts of things. And we're just fortunate to have, of course, our other guests, the North Coast Chorale and the Cannon Beach Chorus. So we'll have good numbers of singers and some fine singers, too, to join us on these combined numbers, something we don't get to do very often. So we're taking a tradition out of this.
So how does the concert work, since you have instrumental soloists and you also have the chorus and the chorale with you?
Right. Well, we're trying to get a lot of variety, obviously. And we're actually putting this concert on in conjunction with the Liberty Theater. So they're it's their concert, but we're putting it on with them. And so we'll do a few numbers of our own for the North Coast Symphonic Band. And then we're going to be featuring Mark and Denise on some solo works with us, with our accompaniment. They're going to do some things on their own as a duo, because they perform extensively as a percussion and violin duo.
I want to hear about that.
And then each of the chorales, the choruses, will do a short portion of their own music by themselves, and then we'll combine on three numbers at the end for a grand finale with a cast of thousands.
I was going to say,
not thousands,
I see why you're starting at 4 o'clock.
it'll go very quickly. We had some practice at it now from the first one last year that we did, and so things will move real quickly, and you'll hear, you know, big symphonic sounds and intimate chamber music
like
and beautiful
diversity,
singing,
yeah.
The whole thing.
Yeah. And were Denise and Mark with you last year, or is that?
No.
So this is a new one. Yeah. Oh, fantastic. So tell me, apropos of sort of an aside from the concert, what do you do when you're playing as a duo? And where? Where do you get to perform?
Well, this time we're performing, I think I brought my vibraphone, and I think both the pieces we're doing by ourselves are just with vibraphone and violin. And
tell us what a vibraphone is.
A vibraphone is like a metal xylophone. And a lot of times what we do is marimba and violin, and a marimba is like a big, large xylophone.
Made out of wood, usually.
Made out of wood.
Okay. So is a xylophone usually wood?
It is. And I'll be playing xylophone with the band on a piece tonight or tomorrow night.
So when we see people playing metal, that's a vibraphone.
Usually, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like Lionel Hampton was a famous vibraphone player.
Interesting. Interesting. And what's, I can imagine, but why don't you tell us the difference in the sound? Why would you use one with the duo
great question.
And one with
the vibraphone sustains. So you can you hit the bar and take the pedal off of it, and it rings. Whereas the wood of a marimba or a xylophone dies pretty quickly, the sound does. So it's a shorter sound.
Interesting. That I would not have known. I was thinking just the difference between metal and wood, but I like that. Yeah,
That is a big difference, the metal and wood sound. But the lyricism that you're able to hear in a vibraphone is a pretty cool mixture with what the violin does.
Do the two of them sometimes speak the same note or sound as though they're speaking the same?
Probably you would never mistake them for each other, but the mixture is really nice.
Sounds lovely. And when you're back home in
Ellensburg
in Central, I keep thinking of it as way over in the east because it's full of snow. What the heck?
Yeah.
Do you play as a duo in where?
Where have we played?
We've done a lot of regional things in Ellensburg and Yakima, some in
Montana
Portland.
And Portland.
So
and Tacoma.
Would it be like in a club or church or where?
More often on recital series, like there's a concert
a
series
theater
in Seattle.
Might have.
Right. Some sort of cabaret settings too, though. We're actually working on a new show that we're putting together for the spring that's a cabaret theme, and we've done one of those in the past. So there's the audience is able to sit at tables and eat and drink and enjoy the music.
And make merry
with
the music. Did you two, now we're going to get personal, Dave. Did you two meet over music?
We did.
We did. we both were in Portland at one point, and Denise was playing with the symphony, and I was teaching up at Lewis and Clark, is where I met Dave as well.
Oh.
We played in a contemporary group called the Third Angle New Music Ensemble in Portland.
And both of you?
Both of us played in that.
And that's where you met, or you met and joined them?
That's where we met,
That is very inspiring. See, folks, not only is music a profession and a joy, but it's also a matchmaker. Lovely.
That's quite.
Yes, definitely. Yeah,
you fall in that category?
I met my wife in seventh grade in the middle school band.
Oh, my God. Now, that's a little less usual. So now I'm hearing that, Dave, you've known Mark and his music making for a while.
Right, and that's one reason I really wanted to have them here. The theme of this concert, besides being a holiday Christmas concert, is Home for the Holidays. And since he's local, and ever since I've been involved with the North Coast Band here these last 4 years, I thought, I'm going to get Mark Gutenberger down here because we just had a great time teaching together. He was a student at Lewis and Clark right before I got there. He was, I think, one of the first people I met, actually, while he was in the band room practicing to get ready to go to the University of Michigan for his master's degree, and we had a nice chat. And then when he finished his degree, then we hired him as our percussion teacher for many years until Central stole him away.
But he
did so many wonderful creative things with students that I thought, well, I got to have him back. So.
Well, this is great. And you don't mind coming back to Astoria, do you, Mark? Did you actually grow up here?
I lived here from sixth grade through high school, and my parents lived here till about 12 years ago, so I came back until about 2001.
Are you the firstborn?
Or? Third.
Oh, you're the... Oh.
Susan, Jennifer, me, and my brother John.
Okay, so John's the baby. Okay, interesting, Well, it's great to have you both here.
Thank you.
Let's hear a little bit about this program then.
Dave. Well, it's... We
gave us an overview, but let's hear some of the specifics.
Okay, and we really want this to be, a very traditional, Christmas concert is really what it is, a traditional Christmas concert. But this year we have a few pieces that aren't completely Christmas pieces, but they do kind of fit our theme about coming home and things like that. So you'll hear a lot of medleys in the program from traditional carols. Which we'll do a big sing-along at the end for the grand finale. We've got some good singers in the audience, too. So we want people to get good and warmed up before they come and warm up those vocal cords so we can sound good. So from traditional carols to some of the pieces that Mark and Denise are doing, one's a composition by Mark and one is an arrangement of carols.
Nice.
And I'll let them talk about that.
Denise.
But we have... we'll do Sleigh Ride and pieces like that everyone would recognize. And so the things that the band is doing by themselves will be real recognizable and a lot of fun, too. The choir, two choirs.
Let me just ask something. This thing called xylophonia.
Yeah.
But that's with the band and Mark.
Right, that's Mark, you want to talk about
and that's,
that.
That's opposed to the piece Xylophobia, which is one about being afraid of those wooden bars.
But I'm just curious that it's, was that written to be played with a band?
I think it was originally piano and xylophone.
Okay, but the whole band is, I love it. Oh, that's really going to be fun.
I won't say too much about that. People are going to have to come to the con. That has is a really interesting piece.
Okay, let's remind people again. This is tomorrow, Saturday. And remember, often the North Coast Symphonic Band plays on Sundays. This is not Sunday. This is Saturday at 4 p.m. So everything about it is a little bit different. So well worth checking it all out. Okay. And what else were you going
well,
to?
Well, I wanted to mention the choir, certainly, because they have a big part of this, too.
Yeah.
So, let's see, Dr. Denise Reed and the North Coast Chorale will be doing a piece called In December. And then they're going to do Christmas Time is Here, which people will recognize from the Charlie Brown Christmas. Mm. That's by Vince Guaraldi. and Lee Mendelson, and then a piece called "What Will You Put Under Your Christmas Tree," which I believe is from a suite for Kwanzaa, I believe. I'm not sure.
Well, actually, I don't think it's from that. What the chorale did, though, I went to their last concert, and they did the Ngozi Saba piece, which was for Kwanzaa, and then finished off with that particular "What Will You Put Under Your Christmas Tree?" Whoa, you got to hear the words on that. It, you know, you think, oh well, what do you put under your Christmas tree? No,
it's love and
compassion and all these. It's very touching and it's delightful too. So okay, so that's the North Coast Chorale, and then
Cannon Beach Chorale with
chorus,
chorus. I keep.
I know.
I'm trying to be real careful. But chorus with Dr. John Bueller and his wife Dr. Susan Bueller accompanying them. They did quite a series of the John Rutter Christmas settings this year in their own concert. So they're going to do the Holly and the Ivy and then Mary's Lullaby, which is an original piece by John Rutter. And then the Christmas Song by Mel Torme, which everyone will recognize, one of my favorites. And then an arrangement of Jingle Bells, which I haven't heard to Mark Hayes' arrangement, but I got a feeling that one's going to be pretty fun and interesting. And,
so when you say what you just said, Mark Hayes' arrangement, do you know Mark Hayes?
No.
Okay. It's just that
Some of the names we know, but you know, it's just a...
Because I don't know any of these. Well, I know John Rutter, but I don't know most of these
people. Well, we always list the composers' names, but in these cases, like something like Jingle Bells, someone who arranges it, they haven't written the original, but their arrangement is what makes it interesting.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So they should be cited.
Yeah, I agree.
In the case of the Christmas medley we're doing that I've arranged, it's very jazzy. So the even though the violin part is playing more traditional, the melodies that what we're doing.
Nice.
The vibraphone part is the chords are more based on jazz harmonies.
And that's with the band or just
that's
the
just
two
the two
of
us.
You? Yeah. Okay. I was wondering because the violin is one of the quieter instruments when you've got all those.
Yeah. Let's hope I can stand up to that.
Oh, yeah. We'll stick a microphone in. No. So, well, this is wonderful. Tomorrow, a North Coast Christmas home for the holidays with the North Coast Symphonic Band. My guest, Dave Becker, conductor and director, the North Coast Chorale, directed by Dr. Denise Reed, the Cannon Beach Chorus, directed by Dr. John Bueller, and Denise Dillenbeck and Mark Goodenberger, my guests, who are guest soloists. Now, do you guys get to stay? Oh, and Bob Walters, we mustn't forget Bob.
And there's one other guest, too.
Oh, I hear Santa's coming.
There's one other jolly old gentleman.
No, or not so old, but yes.
And this would be a great family concert,
yes,
too.
Yes, absolutely. Do you folks get to stick around for a while? You're not getting in the car again.
We're staying till Sunday.
Anybody need a ride back to Ellensburg? Great. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Carol.
Hope you have a wonderful stay. I know it's going to be a wonderful concert. Anything else we need to know?
That's it.
Okay. Well, you know, I wanted to play, since you said the theme is Home for the Holidays, from John McCutcheon, Calling All the Children Home. Here we go.
Johnny, Mary, Claire, Lulu, Jeannie, Kevin, Jeff, Patty, Nancy, Ron. Johnny, Mary, Claire, Lulu, Jeannie, Kevin, Jeff, Patty, Nancy, Ron. Shadows growing longer, lights are growing dim. Supper's on the table, everybody come in. Been playing at the river and I'm tired of the phone. She's calling all the children home. Home to the table and the big black pot. Everybody's got enough, though we ain't got a lot. No one is forgotten, no one is alone. Everybody's sitting in everybody's place with their fresh scrubbed fingers and their fresh scrubbed face. It's quiet just a minute while sister says a grace like she's calling all the children home.
home to the table and the big black pot. Everybody's got enough, though we ain't got a lot. No one is forgotten, no one is alone when she's calling all the children. I could hear her voice in the middle of a crowd. It was never too late, it was never too loud. Smelled just like home by the time we hit the door. There was always just enough, there was always room for more. Out in the desert, down by the sea, hear the voice calling, ollie, ollie in free. From the city to the forest where the wild bees roam, we're calling all the children home. Home to the table, home to the feast, where the last are the first and the greatest are the least. Where the rich will envy what the poor have got. Everybody's got enough, though we ain't got a lot. No one is forgotten, no one is alone when we're calling all the children home. Home to the table and the big black pot. Everybody's got enough, though we ain't got a lot. No one is forgotten, no one is alone. From the shacks of Soweto to the ice of Nome, from Baghdad City to the streets of Rome, we're calling all the children home.
Moishe, Isabel, Sifu, Kim, Mohammed, Mikael, Red Hawk Team, Johnny, Mary Claire, Kevin, Jeff, Patty, Nancy, Ron.
Well, thank you very much. That's John McCutcheon calling all the children home just in time for the North Coast Christmas home for the holidays with the North Coast Symphonic Band. 4 o'clock. On Saturday, which, as I mentioned, gives you time to check out some other things going on. And that could be my next guest, who's someone very familiar to Coast Community Radio listeners, and that's Ron Baldwin. Hi, Ron.
Hi.
Hey, it's great to have
you. Good afternoon or evening,
yeah,
as it may be.
Well, you're on the other side now.
Yeah.
How you doing over there? You're on the other side. Ron is usually on this side of the mic. He does. What's your regular lineup?
My regular program is evening jazz on alternate Wednesdays, second and fourth Wednesdays.
Okay.
And I've been doing that for, 6 or 7 years or something like that.
And sometimes do you still sub sometimes?
Yeah, I sub for anybody that calls, usually.
Yeah, you've got quite a repertoire there. And you're also a sound guy.
Yeah.
Professional sound guy.
Been at that a few years.
Yeah. But you're here now because, and let me give you a great big mazel tov. Ron gets a congratulations because
thanks.
He has a brand new band called The Little Necks. Now, how do you explain your title?
When you're looking for a band name, it's usually a big ends up a big fight over, you know, what are we? Well, we can't do that. No, we can't, that sounds dumb. So we went through that sort of thing, but I just saw something about our Pacific Little Neck Clam that same day.
Oh, very cool.
And so that kind of makes it kind of coastal, you know.
Okay, I like it. I'm thinking rednecks? We know Ron's not a redneck, so what's a little neck? Okay, that's great. I like it.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to get as local as I can.
Well, now, you are very local. You live right across the river in Chinook.
I live in Chinook.
And who are the other folks in this band?
The other fellas in the band are all from Longview area, Longview Kelso. I was a Longview Kelso guy myself. I went to R.A. Long and Longview, and I've kept pretty much in touch with that community as well.
Mm-hmm.
I write for the Columbia River Reader.
Oh, that's right.
And so I'm in and out of Longview still. And actually, who brought this band together was Rick Holt. Rick Holt owns Teal's music here and in Longview.
And we've all
kind of worked with him in various projects before. And so it was at his suggestion that we get together.
Wow.
And we started rehearsing. We met and started. I knew the bass player, Gary Oldroyd, and from before,
mm-hmm.
from the old Peters days when Bond Street was playing in Kelso area.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew Gary. The other guys in the band, we knew each other, but...
Not really.
Not really, you know. Just like to say hello at in the music store.
Right, sort of thing. So who actually chose who was going to be in the band? Was that Rick Holt or was
actually, the band has been playing together. They worked with a gal from Longview, a noted pop vocalist from Longview, Rayanne. And they were called Rayanne's Groove, and actually they still do some work with her.
Mm-hmm.
But
you weren't part of that?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all. But they wanted to stretch out a little bit and get out of the pop mm-hmm. stuff and start, mm-hmm. you know, diversifying their playing. And they mentioned that to Rick, and Rick said, what's
just
the question
the guy.
Here? So he suggested that we get together, and we did, and it clicked.
Now, you, I know, are a fabulous singer, and with Bond Street, you were doing the vocals.
Yes.
What's the percussion part?
Well, I also am a drummer.
I didn't even know that.
Well, in the last group that I played was, which was a group called Sweet Young Things with Joey Patnod.
That's right.
And Brian O'Connor.
Uh-huh.
I
you played drums.
I was a drummer, and so... A lot of people don't know that I am a drummer, but I do some percussion stuff with this band, too.
They're about to find out because tomorrow night, and this is why I say you can do several events, tomorrow night this band, this brand new band, the Little Necks, with Ron Baldwin on lead vocals and
at
percussion,
8:30.
Is playing 8:30 at the Maritime Tavern, which is on the corner of 10th and Marine Drive.
10th or 9th?
Oh.
I think it's 9th.
You,
one of those.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's 10th, but you'll find out,
known.
Folks.
It's pretty
well. Just walk along Marine Drive. Yeah, it's right on the corner. It's a big place, and it's quite wonderful. Somebody's going to call us, I hope, and just tell us. I'm thinking I often park there when I go over to Cala.
Uh-huh.
Which is between 10th and 11th.
Exactly.
That's why I'm thinking it's
okay.
on 10th. But wherever. I'll... It's going to be terrific. And now Maritime has relatively new owners.
Yes.
And they have been switching things around and bringing in some, along with Heidi, helping. Or perhaps instigating some of it, bringing in some wonderful musicians. So this is...
Exactly.
This is terrific.
Those people, Terry and Todd.
Terry and Todd.
Robinette. They are really nice folks, by the way. And
yes.
And they're proactive about starting to bring live entertainment for dancing.
Aha. Uh-huh.
You know...
What's the space like for dancing? Is there a small floor there?
It has a actually fairly good sized dance floor.
Whoa!
And a stage, and there was music there, live music there in the past, 20 years ago.
The way,
or maybe
passed.
not that far, long ago, but there has been live music there in the past, and so it's a really great sounding room, good dance floor, and they have a great pub food. I'm telling you what, really good pub food, and so it's a great place and a good venue, but. We're there to make them dance. That's what we're there for.
Ooh, now this sounds like a challenge, folks.
Well, it is, you know.
I love it.
The music for dancing, places to dance to live music.
Are not as...
Not that.
Yeah.
In the 90s, when the Bond Street first formed, there were 11 places in our community that had not had live music for dancing.
Wow.
How many are there today?
Mm-hmm.
Not too many.
Not on a regular
basis.
So
we're aiming to help to make that.
Okay, now if you don't want to dance or you're shy or you're too tired, you can just hang out, eat good food, and listen to this fantastic band.
Exactly. Again, but it's hard to sit still, I'm telling
it
you.
It will be. Oh, that's wonderful. And by the way, I win, Ron. It's 10th Street.
It is.
Yeah, I don't know my numbers, but I got my locations in Estoy.
All right.
So we've got Ron Baldwin here, my guest, and he's lead vocals and percussion. Rick Weiler on guitar.
Yes.
Gary Oldroyd on bass and vocals. Kevin Edinger on drums. And Gary Falter, keyboards and vocals.
Yeah.
I really am enjoying the concept of the Longview folks coming to Astoria to have this, make this band and have it play. I'm sure you'll go there and
they're
play
really
as
anxious
well.
To play here.
Wonderful.
They you know, I mean, you know, Astoria is a place that some people come to and they've been here before and they like it, but there's, you know, nothing particular to. But these guys are, they say, we want to play in Astoria. Yeah. Sure.
I think it's happening more and more, actually, in Astoria and across the river as well. So,
well, let's hope that we can see more dance venues.
Amen to that. Amen. Women.
Carol's all about dance, aren't you?
I sure am. And Ron's right. And any of you who were ever at the Bond Street Blues Band know how he sings and also how we all get out there and dance. So you're
saying, I worked with the Big Fish Blues Band, and I worked with Thunder Road for a while, and then, of course, with the Bond Street Blues Band. Mm-hmm. By the way, this is kind of some kind of news. We're kind of headed into in February, there's going to be a 20-something year anniversary Bond Street Blues Band gig.
Oh, cool.
So this is a kind of keep an eye out for that.
Heads up on that. Okay.
Yeah.
So only,
I'm not sure what the exact date is on that.
Listen to KMUN and you'll get
it. Yeah, you'll figure it out.
You'll figure it out. That's true. Well, congratulations on the band. Again, this is tomorrow evening, 8:30. How late can they stay open or can you play? Is there a
we'll
deadline?
Probably play till midnight.
Okay. Okay,
yeah.
So as long as there are people there dancing,
we'll be there.
They'll be there playing. So do show up. Again, it's 10th Street Marine Drive. You can't miss it. The Maritime Tavern. And thanks to Terry and Todd for bringing in the music
and
the dance.
Very much.
Great.
And thank you, Carol.
You bet.
Bye.
And you can hear Ron doing his own show again right here on Coast Community Radio, which is KMUN and KTCB, and it's time for a little more music. Something else happening tomorrow evening. And, you know, if you do it right, you can fit it all in, although this is a little further away on the peninsula. It's in Long Beach at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center at 7 o'clock. Naomi Hooley and Rob Stroop, I have here Naomi's album. I don't have the combo album. I know it's somewhere, but have a listen and stay tuned. Matt Love's coming on in.
And pray for the light and a Lord.
Well, that was Naomi Hooley, and again, she and Rob Stroop will be together at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center. They're doing two performances, actually. They'll be on Saturday at 7 o'clock, as ever, and then they're doing another one Sunday at 2 p.m., so you can catch them either time in the Peninsula Performing Arts Center in Long Beach. Is got a Friday open mic as well for anybody who wants to join in. And by the way, my next guest, let me just shoot this in for tonight in case we run out of time, although Matt and I are going to try to be disciplined and give me time at the end to make announcements, but you know how it goes. Tonight, the Astoria Library is featuring the Consort of All Sorts, Yum Yum Yum, at 6 p.m. with Baroque holiday music, including non-traditional carols, Drew singing, and it's going to be a beautiful concert. 6 p.m., those are always open to the public and free. Astor Street Opry Company, last weekend, Friday and Saturday at 7, Sunday at 2 for Scrooged in Astoria. Also the last weekend for the Coaster Theater with Once Upon a Mattress. They're at 7:30 and Sunday at 3. If you get mixed up in the time, call me later, okay, because you don't want to mess up on that. Pilar French, who's a wonderful singer, 7 o'clock at the Sand Trap tonight, blues, funk, lounge ballads. And the Adrift, I had just had to say this one out loud. The name of the band is the Student Loan String Band.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty cool, huh? And in Manzanita, they have Friday Night Flicks with Birds of Neptune at the Hoffman at 7:30 tonight. And I'll give you what's happening on Saturday in a bit. But first, I want to bring to you Matt Love in, this is probably his 74th hat that he's wearing this time. Hey, Matt, you've got a gig coming at the Sou'Wester.
I do. And it's great to be back on the show, Carol. There's so much going on in this community. And mm-hmm. I have never been to the Sou'Wester.
I couldn't believe it. I can't either.
I've driven by it, but I don't have much of a Washington audience, Carol. I'm an Oregon writer with sort of Oregon stories, but they got a hold of me and we kind of collaborated. And we're going to screen the movie out there. I'm going to do a little introduction to the film, and I get to stay out there. And
which film would that be?
It's Sometimes a Great Notion, and we know that movie resonates all along.
Yeah.
The Oregon and Washington coast, the logging community will come out for it.
Well, also, you know, a lot of the folks who come to the Sou'Wester come from Portland.
That's right.
Because Tondi was from Portland. She's got the whole arts community coming. They packed the place. So, but we are one, aren't we, Washington and Oregon?
We are, particularly when it comes to logging. All you have to do is look across the river and see that. But we won't go there with that. But, you know, the funny thing is that movie, Sometimes a Great Notion, filmed in the summer of 1970 in the Oregon coast, it doesn't really do anything outside of the Pacific Northwest. Nobody really cares about it. It's an Oregon, Washington, because of the culture of logging. And we have a really robust discussion after the film is concluded about where we are now.
Tell me, does British Columbia join in on this? Because they have somewhat of that.
Yeah, they do. They do. You know, I just haven't ventured that far north.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I just know that, you know, this area, all the way down to Humboldt, you know, there's still mm-hmm. logging going mm-hmm. on the Coast Range and, of course, into the Cascades. But that movie just still has life because we're still cutting trees and the Gippo logger. And, you know, there's always a family in every Oregon coast or Washington coast town that claims that they're the inspiration for the stampers in the novel.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
okay, now you got a little bit more up close and personal there, and you wrote your own book called Sometimes
a Great Movie.
Great movie.
It's about the filming of the movie in you know, the Central Oregon coast in the summer of 1970. And it's not about, you know, Hollywood. It's about the people interacting with the stars at the time. And the book continues to sell. It's one of my favorite books because I interviewed well over probably 250 people.
You also have a lot of incredible photographs.
I do. And like people just gave, and I'm sure, Carol, I'll walk in the Sou'Wester. Someone's going to walk in, and they were an extra on the set.
Right, and they're going to
they drank with Paul Newman. It's going to happen. Right. It happens every single time.
Right. I'm glad you brought up drinking because that's one of Matt's other hats is all the drinking dives in town.
I chronicle their ongoing I must tell you, I'm very, very upset that, you know, my beloved view from the Triangle Tavern is disappearing because of the expansion of the motel under the Megler Bridge. Ugh. You will no longer be able to see, and I want everybody in this area to hear this.
Mm-hmm.
You will no longer be able to see the river, the freighters, what happens on the river from the back room of the Triangle because of the expansion of that motel. We could debate that. Jobs, you know, income.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah. I just like, I've written a million words at that back table and I love that. And now it's gone.
Yeah, and hate losing the river little by little.
Yeah, and you know what?
Keeps
that's an ongoing story in this town that people need to be vigilant on. And I will. I will be there.
Good, good. Now, you also have your corduroys have been appearing, and by the way, I wanted to mentioning corduroys reminds me of my friends Anne Goldine and Barry, and happy birthday to Jasmine, and that calling all the children home, that was for Jasmine as well, and we were just talking about corduroys, and I said, hey, it's coming back, or at least according
at
to
least
Matt
with,
Love.
In my mind.
I've tried to dig mine out of the.
Well, that's what everybody tells me. They see me. Well, I think what if the listeners are what we're referencing here is an article I wrote for Coast Weekend about the return of corduroy, vintage corduroy, as a great way to live, and you know, like I just love the fabric. It's so
I
relaxed,
love corduroy too.
And it's yeah. like you know, where yep. do we go away from that? And a macrame, you know, like those were once people used to wear. Macrame and crochet, you know, bikinis, and I just
well, you know, it's funny though because I was telling them that I never wore jeans. I always wore corduroys because
really?
they're softer. And I didn't like jeans, and here I am now in black jeans.
Well,
all
you
the
get
time.
Yourself down to Garbo's right now.
Yeah,
on commercial.
I've got them in my closet. Are you
well,
kidding?
Then dig them out yeah, for yeah. Christmas. Yeah, you probably got maroon flared ones, right?
You never know. I don't think they're maroon, but the flare part could be.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll find them. So now what are you doing with your Astoria High School job?
Well,
what is the job? And
the
what
job
are you doing?
Is, I'm in my second year at Astoria High School, and I'm working with students at the alternative school. It's called the Gray School. It's up at the old Robert Gray Elementary. We've got about 35 students there that are primarily working online. For a variety of reasons, Carol, why they haven't succeeded in a normal a campus setting.
Mm-hmm.
But I was brought up there to give them some real live English instruction. And so it's not necessarily online based. And I've just fallen in love with these students and their mm-hmm. stories of victory, defeat, rallying. And we're going to put out a special publication out of the Gray School, a little magazine. I'm trying to raise some funds. Anybody out there interested in funding a publication of at an alternative high school, look me up. Because these students, I've read all their essays, and they're blowing my minds.
Mm-hmm.
About their writing is spectacular. They see Astoria and the environs in a different way than I do. They're teaching me when I'm reading this stuff, and it needs to get out to our community to understand why
yeah.
these students aren't succeeding.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have to listen.
In the box.
In the box.
They're not succeeding in the box.
They're smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we've got to find a way to listen to them. Nobody ever asks students, what's wrong with your education?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's the first question.
Well, I have to say I'm thrilled that the school exists, number
yes.
one. And I am absolutely delighted that you have been brought in because I can't imagine anybody being able to resist your enthusiasm and your creativity, you know, taking kids to walk in the rain and then go home
yeah.
and write about
yeah.
it, you know, that kind of thing.
You know, the irony of that, Carol, is that when I was in high school, well, thank you for saying that. And the district has, Superintendent Hoppus at Astoria School District has been so supportive of what we're doing
Good.
At Gray. I mean, they know that we've got to lower this dropout rate. We've got to find answers. And they're willing to turn me loose in that kind of environment. And I work with a great crew up there.
Excellent.
The other teachers and the counselor and the aide there, we're a team. And we had a local church today come in and donate a turkey dinner to these students and
oh,
a backpack
cool.
and like gifts. And
it was
yeah. good stuff.
Yeah.
And the irony I was pointing out, Carol, when I was in high school, I skipped one day. I never
yeah.
did drugs. I... Right. I I went to school, like, how at the tail end of my teaching career I've gravitated toward these students who have these, some of these issues, is really a story that I think I'm going to work on a book about it. Like, how did I come to do this? Because I wasn't like that as a high school kid. I got straight A's.
How boring. No, just kidding, just kidding.
Well, you know what? Hey.
Look what came out of it, though.
If we didn't have kids that dropped out of high school, we wouldn't have rock and roll. Now, you can quote me on that. Or art. I mean, some of these kids
It's a good line.
It is. I mean, you know, well, I always tell them, go ahead.
Well, no, just the ideas. That's why I said in the box, because I think that's part of the problem is sit still. Nowadays, I know there are a lot of people who understand that there are many different learning methods.
Yes.
So sitting still with your hands clasped at your desk or in your lap and keeping your mouth shut is not the environment that works for some of us. And I'm not saying them, I'm saying us, because I had trouble with that. There are schools that allow the kids, as long as you can put a finger on your desk, you can be anywhere. You can sit on the floor. You can chew on snacks during school, like carrots and celery and stuff, because that's part of some of our makeup. And so that's a good thing.
You just completely hit the nail on the head here. There's been a disconnect how the way we expect children to behave in a classroom. And then you go to any meeting at like a business meeting at a brewery or a radio station. Nobody is like it is in the classroom. We got people standing up, moving around. They have to do. And like you roll with that. And like it's unrealistic.
And you learn to improvise, which is the only thing that's going to keep this world going.
That's right. And
like, problem solving.
Have to adjust to. I mean, we've had a 30% dropout rate in this country since the early 1970s. Okay, so what have we done? All the technology's come. We've raised the standards. I mean, I didn't do anything in high school in 1982. Zero compared to what they asked these kids to do today with the math requirements.
Well,
and
Let me ask you something. Because you're doing writing or English, so you're in the creative arts, basically, if you're doing... are there other art programs there? And do you think, because Lorraine Ortiz, I think it was, who did that Art Saves Lives years ago. And it's...
Well, I'll be blunt with our listeners out here. I came from Newport High School.
Mm-hmm.
No art program. barely had a music program. And then I come to Astoria, they've got orchestra, they've got jazz, they've got choir, they've got a full-time art teacher. Astoria High School is one of the last high schools in the Northwest that has kilns.
Yeah.
Okay? They're making pottery there. So I was like, whoa. And one of the reasons why I've loved working there is that I found a role for myself to ramp up the literary arts. We're going to put out a literary review second semester when I start teaching creative writing at the main campus. And so we'll find a way. We staged an open mic today in my room down on the main campus.
Oh, does that work? How does the open mic?
Well, that's a good question. I dragoon these students I hear that are playing music, and we had original music. We had some Christmas carols. We had classical music by two young men.
And this is during school? After
school? This is during lunch in my room.
During lunch.
It's akin to a
rock
club.
I saw some pictures. It looked like
fun. It's wild. There's like probably 100 people in a room that holds 40. And we have like a stage and a PA and lights, and it's like a rock club, New York, 1972 in there.
Well, you know, and I was just, my last guest was Ron Baldwin, and part of the other problem is even when we get wonderful venues that have music and dance et al., many of them, even the ones that allow under 21s, the kids have to leave at a certain time because of alcohol. So that's another thing, is to make sure that there are places where young people can go be creative and hear each other, listen to each other.
And they also, I'm finding a lot of them don't have any place to practice. There's just no rehearsal space. I know there's some things happening.
It's true.
The skate park people, the Armory, are doing some underage shows. There's a movement to try to provide that. I know Fort George, those kids can stay upstairs on Sunday night.
It's 9 or 10.
I think it's 10. But the show's over at 10.
Oh, that's true.
And so there are a couple places if they will avail themselves of that.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're part of the fight for this. I'm so glad you came to Astoria. Watch out for Matt Love, because you never know where he's going to turn up Right now, we know that on the 30th, which is Wednesday.
I believe so, yes.
Ooh, that's this coming Wednesday.
No, it's after Christmas.
Oh, sorry. God, thank goodness. Thank you. Slow me down. It's not yet. Yeah. It's a week and a half away. On the 30th at the Sou'wester, which is in Seaview, which is a fabulous place. And so you still haven't been there.
I have not.
At they least gave you me, finally
like,
met
I'm
going to
go there.
Deep.
They gave me a cabin and... We've got trivia prizes. I got prizes. I've got giveaways. And
sometimes a great notion. The film, and then you'll get to see Matt's book and find out what he went through. And if you've got experiences with that, if you've been in this area, it would be a great place to share. What time is that happening-ish? Do you remember?
I don't know.
Okay. So
If it's on the Sou'wester website.
Yeah, they have a great website.
I can't say. I don't want to say a time.
S-O-U- apostrophe W-E-S-T-E-R, Sou'wester, and it's a lodge and a few other things in Seaview, Washington.
And can I interject here real quick? I also have about a 20-minute video of home movie footage that was shot on the set, and I'm the only person that has that. So if you want to come out and see, you'll see Ken Kesey.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see some of the outtakes. You'll see Newman drinking the largest Scotch and soda in the history of the world. It's in a flower vase. Just come on out. You guys will have a great time.
Love it. That's wonderful. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. And keep on keeping on with our kids because that's so exciting. Great. Right here on Coast Community Radio. Hey, folks, thanks for being here. It's Arts Live and Local. And I'm going to give you a little music, and then we'll come back at you with some more stuff happening. And it is, after all, coming up is the solstice. It's also a season of miracles, a season of lighting up the dark, hope in the time of despair. Here's a miracle song. This is also from John McCutcheon.
He was standing on the bridge as I was passing just today. He says to no one, it's a miracle, you know. I've run these fish for 40 years, each season it's the same. They somehow find the way to home and go. Oh, I fish the dogs, the humpies, and the silvers in my time. Kings get up to 50 pounds or more. Spring sends the fries back out to sea. Each season it's the same. Then it's through my nets and back to home once more. They'll most of them not last, you know. He looked me straight and long. They'll whiten as they fight to make the head. And those that brave the barren birds, the lucky and the strong, will leave their bones to see the young are fed. Said, smiling with his eyes, it's an upstream fight, no matter how you swim. The lucky and the strong survive each season, it's the same. We leave our bones where life begins again. These fish and I, we both need one another, don't you know? It's the sowing and the reaping side by side. I thin them and they fatten me. Each season it's the same. I couldn't half explain it if I tried. 'Cause it's a miracle, he whispered over sight. He was standing on the bridge as I was passing just today.
Indeed. Each season, it's the same, and it's the season of miracles. Wonderful. Well, one of the miracles is Coast Community Radio still on the air all these years. And you, hopefully you joined us on December 1st. And if not, and you would like to, or if you're looking at your taxes or something like that, or your heart, and you're thinking about who deserves your support, you might give us a call right here, right now even. Talk to Susan, 503-325-0010, or go online, coastradio.org, and give a little more to your favorite Coast Community Radio, your favorite station. So tomorrow, Coffee Girl from 3 to 5 has Brad Griswold and Dave Quinton. The Apollo Archive Center, A Christmas Story, finish with English subtitles at 11 a.m. That's a film. Sou'Wester, over the weekend, has a naturally dyed yarn and weaving workshop from 11 to 3 Saturday and 10 to noon Sunday. And at 8 p.m. Saturday night is Travis Champ, Dusty Santa Maria, and Locks. Oh, love that Dusty and great Travis. I don't remember Locks, but I love to eat it. Sorry, folks. Folk, soul, and hypnosis. I don't know what that means. Sounds like fun for sure. Liz Harris, the AVA AIR, Artist in Education, has an open studio all by herself from 5 to 8, 1170 Commercial. It's all Saturday. Merry Time has The Little Mix with Ron Baldwin. We heard from him earlier. North Coast Symphonic Band and the North Coast Chorale and the Cannon Beach Chorus. And Mark and Denise are all going to be at the Liberty at 4 p.m. tomorrow. And Naomi Hooley and Rob Stroop at 7 on Saturday and Sunday at 2 at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center. Jane Austen's 240th birthday celebration tea is 2 to 4 at the Shelburne, also in Seaview. The Halem Valley All-Stars are playing Dancing Favorites, 7 o'clock at the Tsunami Ballroom. And that's in Wheeler. Columbia Q Center presents A Nightmare Before Christmas Skate Party, 8 to 11 at the Armory. Porterville Waco has a market from 10 to 4, and the Oregon Coast Dance Theater in Tillamook has auditions, 3 o'clock Saturday and Sunday. On Sunday, Fort Clatsop, Lewis and Clark has The Big Picture. Lewis and Clark, The Big Picture, Humorous and Scholarly. That should be fun at 1 o'clock. And the Fort George has the Dusu Mali Band, African Funk Blues. Next Wednesday is the Christmas Jazz Concert, Jazz Attitude, 7 to 9, four-piece ensemble with guest vocalist Gwendolyn Phillips Coates. That's in Long Beach, Washington. That's Lanisha's mom. And I'm just going to put a little bit of music on. And thank you for being here. I'll be back next week on Christmas Day. I think Marco's coming in. If you have something you in the arts you want to talk about, shoot me an email at carol@kmun.org. Here's Three Leg Torso, their brand new album. Thanks to Kate and thanks to Joey for getting it for me. Stay tuned, folks. Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, coastradio.org.
Hark, how the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say, throw cares away. Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, me and the bull. Ding dong, ding dong, that is a song with joyful ring, all caroling. One seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, how they pound, raising the sound, o'er hill and dale, telling their tale. Gaily they ring while people sing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here, singing merry, merry, merry Christmas.
You're listening to Three Leg Torso with Carol of the Bells. I sang it in high school. Now comes Free Speech Radio News. Thanks, folks.
This is FSRN, the weekly edition. I'm Nell Abram. Coming up on today's show, A $1.1 trillion omnibus government spending bill is on its way to the president's desk with a slew of riders attached. EU leaders call for regional border patrol and Coast Guard forces. And we'll visit a hackathon in South Los Angeles designed to introduce coding skills to kids without computers. Those stories and more on FSRN's Weekly Edition.